You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hope Shot. Oh, man, I hope you guys had a great weekend. Yo, I did something spontaneous that I'm like out of my comfort zone this weekend. And man, it was such a great time. It was my anniversary this past Friday to my wife. We just celebrated 4 years. We were going to go to St. Pete and go tour some art museums. And man, we went to Nashville instead because our friends propositioned us with free flight tickets. So it's been epic for me. I don't know about y'all. If you guys got any epic stuff you did this weekend, let me know. I'm going to read the Hope Shot Clarity Statement. We here at the Hope Shot are a group of people in recovery spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is a lifestyle. We support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our family. And what that means is like everybody's welcome here, no matter which pathway you're on. We just want to see you thrive. So tonight we got a special guest. We got Matt Keegan sharing his story, his journey. If you guys don't know him, he is a recovery artist, and I think he's from Ohio, but I'm not sure. I think I'm somewhere close to that. I'll let him say where he's from, but man, I'm super excited to hear his story. I love his music and I love what he's doing out there. Please welcome Matt Keegan.
Thank you so much for having me.
What's up, man? How are you?
Oh, we're doing wonderful this evening, man. Just finally getting over a cold I've had for a week and a half, man. I'm just not feeling better.
Yo, that cold is like that 1-2 punch. I got to tell you, this month, everybody's been sick. Throughout Christmas, yeah. This month, it's been crazy.
Yeah, worst thing I've ever had, too. I literally felt like I was going through benzo withdrawals, man. It was wild. I've never experienced anything like that. I didn't test positive for COVID or nothing, but it's nasty.
Yeah, dude, listen, I even told my friend, I was like, man, you ever experienced cotton fever? That's what it felt like. That's what it felt like. Yeah. Hey, did I get the Ohio right?
You got the Ohio right. Absolutely. I'm from a small, obscure town that I'm going to one day put on the map. It's called Bellevue, Ohio, man. I love this town. I love it here. I ran from this town for a long time, too. I hated this town growing up, man, but I'm happy to be home, man. It's a good place to be.
Yeah, it's amazing what how life changes in perspectives once we embrace the small town and all the feels.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. See, guys, should we do the video now? You know what? Hey, listen. I'm going to give you a little taste of his music. Let me share my screen, a little taste of his music, because it's worth the preview before we get right into his story. So you have all the feels that I do. So let me get this real quick. Let me start over, and we're going to go right here. If you guys, this is a YouTube page. You guys can follow him on YouTube. Yeah, let's go. I was a dope fiend, I was a drug addict. I did some time in prison, I had a bad habit. I watched my brother die, it did a lot of damage. They said I'd never make it, but I stuck just like a bandage. Yeah. Every part of my story is part of who I am. When you're trusting in God, you know it's all a plan. I've been making some moves, but I don't need a hand. I'm coming straight from the bottom, where they be popping Zans. Laced with the fentanyl, sent here to kill them all. You can't even buy any weed without that shit involved. Yeah. I was at the bottom in the trenches with the dogs. Yeah. And somehow I made it out without a single scratch at all. And even after all of that, and even though I made it back, I still got a problem with emotion and the way I act. When you're working on yourself, you're never truly done. All it takes is a slip, and you back to square one.
I just gotta touch how crazy that is, that this is happening, bro. Y'all don't understand, man. I never thought this would happen. Like, I'm on a podcast, talking, and I'm shook. I'm shook, man. I'm full of gratitude right now, bro.
Well, man, you know what? You're out there. You're an advocate, man. You're exactly like that song. That song has some weight to it, because literally they are putting in everything, and we need to put it out there more, and to get it out there through music, through conversations. We need to have more conversations about this, because we need to advocate. It's a war, man. It's a war out there, and they're putting it, and it's just getting crazier.
Absolutely. Agreed.
So, and, yeah, let's go right into it, man, and share your story, dude. Where did this all begin, this recovery journey, the music, all of it? Where did it all start?
I would have to say, right off rip, as a kid, I was born into chaos. I was born into my first memories of domestic violence. My mother was a true alcoholic. She suffered with true alcoholism, and she's just one of those ones, once she starts, she can't stop, and stuff gets wild. I just pretty much, that was just the normal for me, man, bouncing back and forth between mom's house, dad's house. I never stayed at the same school for longer than a year. And I remember, like, really as a young kid, I had anxiety right off rip. So I acted out because all this crazy stuff going on at home. And the school and the doctors at the therapist and my doctor all pressured my mom to put me on ADHD medication. So, like, right off rip as a kid, I'm told that I have to take this pill to be normal. I'm not normal. There's something wrong with me, and I have to consume this. And it made me feel weird. It would heighten my anxiety. I wouldn't be able to eat on it. I couldn't sleep. I wasn't getting good sleep. And never did these doctors ask me, like, what my diet was like, what kind of sleep I was getting, what was going on at home. They literally just said, oh, he's acting out. He's a bad kid. He needs to be put on pills. And they put me on Adderall, which is amphetamine salts, bro. So it would make me wild out even more. And I just remember this thick knot of anxiety in my stomach all through school. Plus, I never got to stay for longer than a year. So every time I got comfortable, I got yanked out and had to go somewhere else. So bounced around a lot. I'd be one kid with my mom. I'd be one kid with my dad. My dad came from like a three-generation farming family. And that was supposed to be something I was to inherit and help take over. But I wasn't interested in anything like that. I was just a scared little kid. So my dad worked a lot. I'd be kind of upper middle class, and my dad go back to being on welfare with my mom. So I learned how to move in between these different skins that I could put on. And that's a big part of who I became when I got older. I never really had a solid growing up. I didn't know who I was. So I swore I'd never do drugs too. I was one of those kids. I seen what it did to my mom. I seen what would happen. I swore I'd never do drugs. And of course, then I started using when I was about 13, 14. Came like the regular skater kid, running around, getting in trouble, started smoking cigarettes, drinking beer. And I remember the first time I got drunk, that knot I talked about in my stomach, it just vanished. And I was comfortable. And I was really quick off the cuff. Like, I could just be really funny. I could be really entertaining. I could just make up just all kinds of stuff. And I could always be the center of attention because I never got that attention as a kid. So I craved that, man. I loved it when people looked at me and seen me. There's really no musicians in my family. There was really nobody that got into music, but I got into playing drums. And I'm a metalhead at heart. Like, I don't even really listen to rap, if I'm being honest. I don't even like to be considered a rapper, but I got into metal drums, man. I started playing like Green Day and Blink-182, and then that evolved into Slipknot. Before I know it, I got a double bass pedal. And then before I know it, I'm listening to Carn Effects and Black Dahlia Murder, man. I'm getting heavy. And I started playing in bands, and we started playing in shows, and we started opening up for some pretty big acts. You know, I got to play with Divine Heresy, which is Tommy Vext from Bad Wolves, or his own thing now. Got to do a lot of cool stuff, ran around using the whole time. You know, of course, the drug use escalated, and I started partying like a rock star well before I was even considered anything. And that's when the opioid epidemic broke out, and it was just the Wild West with pills. My mom and dad had gotten back together, and my grandpa died, so my dad decided we're just going to run this multi-million dollar family and farm into the ground, and that's what we did. So my house became the party house. We had a big house, had 100 people over there all the time, had all these crazy wild parties. I would go buy pills and charge mom and dad a little bit of a different price. And that's when I learned I could be a drug dealer. So then I started flipping stuff. And before I know it, man, I'm starting to flip a little bit of everything, and I'm getting into everything. And that's when I discovered Xanax. I had a really bad acid trip that I never came out of, and I still hallucinate to this day, but I freaked out. I ended up dropping out of school in the seventh grade. And then I retreated to my room, and that's where I stayed for a long time until I discovered benzos. And before I know it, a doctor at 16 has me on like 30 milligrams of Adderall, Xanax, 2 milligrams a day, just like real crazy stuff. That's how I ran for a long time. Did drugs with both my parents, would prey on families. I would go root through medicine cabinets trying to find stuff to buy off people, man. That was my whole life in my early 20s. And that's what I wanted to be. That was my legacy. My big legacy was to be the throw the raddest parties anybody's ever seen. And, you know, go wild doing it. And it ran like that for a long time till I ended up going to prison. I got involved in like music festivals, like, let's say, Nelson's Ledges in Ohio or Electric Forest. And I became the dude that had the backpack on. I started dressing like Hunter S. Thompson because, remember, I can change skins. So, like, I'm a metalhead with these kids. I'm a hippie with these guys. I'm Hunter S. Thompson over here. Like, I'm anybody but who I am because I don't know myself. I the only thing that I had to do with hip hop and rapping is I would just be the guy who would like take Adderall or do some sort of upper and then freestyle in your face for like 4 hours. And that was my big thing into hip hop. I never wrote any music. I never sat down and tried to like put anything out. And I only lived for myself, and I only lived to just serve my addiction. And then, excuse me, there's a part where like, it's all good and happy. You have those fond memories of when you used to use and things used to be great. And then there's that inevitable switch from where it went from like pills and acid and ketamine, and then it switched to like meth and heroin. and then it got dark, and then people start dying, and then all of a sudden, oh, the bright parties we used to have turn into like everybody's out for themselves and everybody's cutthroat all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden there's some intimidating people moving in to sell drugs into our town, and there's just bad stuff happening. There's raids, there's police, there's all kinds of stuff. Yeah, so I ended up going to prison. When I first got there, I'm this little unaffiliated white boy up in Michigan. We was up in Detroit, and I'm not ganged up or clicked up with anybody. And I've had a very difficult time when I first got there, bro. I had a brand new prison number. And I always like to tell this story. When I first got there, I get put in my cube because it's big open pole barns. And this big dude comes out and he goes, he's got gutter tattooed on the side of his face. He goes, "Hey man, I'm gonna put it to you like this." He says, "You got till the end of the week to get me and my people $50 a week, or we're gonna stab you." Now, when I was in quarantine, some other old heads put me on game. They're like, "Well, this is gonna happen to you. They're gonna press you. And when they press you, you gotta fight." So I wish I could tell you that I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna throw hands with you. Yeah, let's get it." But that ain't what happened at all, bro. I was surrounded by three of them. And I said, "Let me go make a call." So I go and I run up and I make a call, right, to all these people who I thought were my friends and all these people that I helped put on. And I would front certain people and I made sure they had money. I made sure they could pay their bills. Nobody answered me. Nobody answered my call. And in fact, they went to my house and they raided and took everything. They stole all my clothes. They took my furniture. They took the rest of the work I had. They robbed me blind and left me for dead. And that's when I found out that the whole thing was fake, man. And that's when I came in contact with my first bit of recovery. And for me, I reached out to God immediately because I was lost. I'm up in Michigan. I'm up in this big, bad prison. Thank God I'm a death metal drummer. I tried out for a death metal band there. They let me on. And because I crushed it and knocked the audition out the park, the rest of my bit was super comfortable. I didn't have to put in any work. I didn't have to do no gang stuff. I got out. I was eligible for boot camp. They ran me through a 90-day boot camp program after about a year and boom, back home to Ohio. And you would think that was what's going to change me and that would have scared me enough. But for me, I decided I won't do nothing illegal anymore, but I'll get everything from a doctor. And doctors are very easy to manipulate, man. Very easy to tell them what you want. So before I know it, I'm prescribed like five different things again, and I'm back again. So like I'm having these real insane consequences. Like I just went to prison. I got time over my head, but boom, I went and got prescribed all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm back to this miserable place. I used to follow people. It was around that time I heard this song by Kalichi. It was called Drug Addiction. And it was like this 10-minute song, man, of him just like going in, dude. And I remember when I heard it, it made me want to write. Like you ever hear, a piece of like music or media or content and it makes you want to go create something. Like that's the effect that it had on me. And I was like, man, this is awesome. This is powerful. I want to do that one day. And I started following his page and he's like going to this place and going to that place and sharing his message and sharing his story. And my girlfriend at the time, she's like, "You could really do that one day." She's like, "I really believe that you could do exactly what he does, you know?" So I, ended up running myself into the ground after that. I didn't have no big aha moment. I put it on the shelf and I ended up, I was working at this company. I had some good insurance and they said I could go to Florida for rehab. So I ended up reaching out to somebody and they sent me down to Florida. And I had pretty much avoided AA this entire time. I wanted nothing to do with it. I thought that everybody that came to these rooms was in a cult. It made me very uncomfortable when these people would all come together and like, give each other hugs. And like, because in my world, like people don't come up and just say, "I love you." Like they come up to you, but they got something behind their back. You know what I mean? That's what I was used to for 10 years. So when I would sit in these rooms, it was fake to me, but I was so desperate because I had tried everything. I had tried being on Adderall. I had tried going down the Kratom route. I tried going down the Suboxone route. Like I just ended up abusing everything. Like if I can get high off something, I cannot use it successfully. Like when they talk about you having a disease, I'm not here to argue whether or not there's a disease or not, but I can tell you unequivocally, if I go out and I use one substance, I'm going to do it obsessively and I can't stop. I'll end up doing it all the time. That's just me. That's just my experience. And one thing I really want to like push out there is like, I don't force this on anybody. This is just my experience. And I'm just sharing with people how it was for me. So I go down to Florida and I'm like, "Look, I am going to completely turn myself over to this program and I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to find the best sponsor I can find. I'm going to go through the steps. And I'm going to see what can happen for me and what that can do for me, because I've seen some people, I've seen it do some stuff for some people, but I want to see what it does for me." So I go down there and I was in a class and a guy running the class said, "I want you to go out and find somebody who has something that you want." When they put their hands up in the meeting and when they say, "Is anybody willing to sponsor?" They put their hands up and you find somebody that connects with you spiritually, somebody that you feel, somebody that you like, you need to audition these people, find somebody that has something that you want. So I took that to heart. they take you out to meetings when you're at the detox and the rehab. So I'm going to all these meetings and I find somebody. The first thing I noticed is when he sat in his chair, the whole meeting, he was calm. He was still. For me, I'm like bouncing my legs, switching positions. Like, bro, I'm crawling out of my skin. Like, I can't sit in this chair, but I want that piece he had. And then the second thing I noticed is when he talked, he spoke out of the book. He picked that book up, man, and he would go to certain pages. Like, he was quoting it. Like, he knew. So he knew about it. I wanted to know stuff about the big book, man. So I had to do the most awkward thing ever. He's a grown man. I'm a grown man. I'm 30 at the time. I had to walk up to him and say, hey, man, can I have your phone number? Will you be my sponsor? You know, it was a very humbling thing. But me doing that relationship changed the trajectory of my life forever. 100%. I still talk to this guy literally 3 or 4 times a week. And all my big life events, I go to him, man, because he's got almost 7-8 years and he's got a lot of experience. And that's what this program gives you, man. It gives you a whole new community of people, of men and women, that will change your life if you allow them to. So for me, like, what I noticed right on is I can position myself and put myself around the best of the best that have what I want. So I'm looking for people that are successful in a marriage. I'm looking for people that are good parents that went through the system of CPS and now they got their kids back living with them, man. I want to know what they did, what it took to do that. So I go put myself around them. I ask them for their numbers and I make friends with them. And it turns out in this program, like, as long as you like go up and you're willing to take some suggestions and humble yourself and ask for a number, they'll give it to you for free and they'll be your friend, you know? So I went through my steps, had all kinds of aha moments and really had this wonderful experience fellowshipping with the meetings and stuff. And I wish that I could say that it was like right there. I was like, yeah, I stayed sober forever, but man, that's not the case. That ain't what happened. 2020 happened and the COVID broke out and I thought the world was going to end. So I decided to relapse on my drug of choice, which is Kratom. And that took me down a very dark and terrible path, man. Those extract shots really will destroy me. It'll cause me to end my life. In the process of that, I put out a couple hip hop songs, rap songs I wrote, and they went viral on YouTube. I'm like, I got like 7,000 views. I don't want to say viral, but they got, for me, it was viral at the time. They got like 100 shares on Facebook and 7,000 views. And I'm like, yeah, this is it. I'm a rapper now. Yeah, I'm about to be Caliche. I'm about to get that Caliche love, man. That's what's up. But in reality, it was just me rapping in a van, in a 96 van with half the heater didn't work. You could barely hear the audio, but there was a message in it, man. And I decided then and there, like, if I get this platform, if I can do this, if I can really bring this up, man, I want to make music that inspires people, man, because we are in a sick generation, bro. Somebody is dying every 11 minutes. That's a real statistic. That's insanity. That is insanity, right? So I have to use, if I could do this, I have to do it for that, because what else could I do? I could rap about drugs. I could rap about smoking weed and catching feelings and being sad. That's really easy to do, but I want to say something, man. I want to impact people the way Caliche did. I want to impact people the way NF did. NF does it. He don't even cuss in his songs. There's some songs I don't cuss in because NF don't, because I thought that was just classy. I thought that was fire. Like, he gets his point across and he don't cuss. It's awesome. I still cuss in some songs. Some I don't. So that's what I wanted to build it off of, man. I wanted to build it off of something real. And then most importantly, too, because I do see a lot of fake actors in that were on the internet. I've seen a lot of fake people that do this. I wanted to be real, man. I wanted to be as real as possible. And I wanted to bring and show that not only do I authentically do this and I really do this, but like, I can bring real value. I'm not just getting on there and bullshitting and just saying random stuff that sounds good. Like, I'm saying stuff that I apply in my life that has had a real measurable effect. And that's what... Essentially, I want to bring that energy that you get when you're on fire and you're making meetings every day, that like fire you feel in the rooms and that wisdom all those old timers bring. I want to bring that through my music and my platform. That's my 100% goal. And that's I'm as open, as transparent about that as possible, because I have fallen. Right. So this is where it gets interesting. Putting out music. Right. Everything is going great. Getting my little views. I get on TikTok. I hop on TikTok. This is after the relapse of 2020. TikTok immediately blows up. So again, more ego, more stuff going to my head for sure. And I end up plugging in with the sponsor who's like anti-internet, anti-social media. And he was like one of the best things for me. So I go through the steps again. And I figure I'm going to find the most hardcore old-headed bastard I can find. And I'm going to go get what he got. And that's what I did. I found a real old head and a real stubborn guy. And he was exactly what I needed. And I say this man elevated me to a different level of who I am as a father, who I am as a member of my community, my relationship with God. Like, he taught me all that, and he's actually now a pastor's apprentice, and he just went through all the schools. He's going to run his own church. So he's somebody I look up to immensely, and he has a lot of what I wanted. And I stuck with him for a year. And that's how he taught me to remove my ego with the platform. And now I used to chase views and I used to chase likes. And now the only thing that I have is, as long as I put out the video and it inspires one single person and the video is a complete success, anything after that is a bonus. So when I detached from that, that's when some real growth started to happen, because I stopped doing it in anticipation of, will this be liked or not? I started doing it in anticipation of, is this going to inspire somebody? And do I like it? It's something that I would stand behind. So when I switched my whole mindset on that, I experienced some real growth and got through the steps with him, got up to, I'd say, like 100,000 followers on TikTok. I didn't have nothing on Facebook yet. I'd been posting on Facebook every day, but nothing happened. For years, by the way, I did that on Facebook. Nothing happened. I end up deciding I'm going to move out of my city. I'm going to go to a big city. I'm going to Bellevue. So I'm going to go to Columbus and I'm going to take over because my music's so good. Ego gets out of control again. I'm going to move here. I'm going to go do all these open mics and my message is to sweep the nation and I'm going to go viral and everything's going to go great. I leave. But the two critical things I took out is I stopped making meetings and I stopped pursuing my relationship with God, my higher power. And of course, I ended up crashing and I ended up relapsing. So at this point, I'm helping people get into treatment. I'm working with the treatment center. I have a recovery platform. I'm making recovery content and I built all this up and I'm relapsed and I'm still putting out videos and I'm pretending that I'm sober. Relapsed on Kratom, by the way. And some advocates will argue that Kratom's not a relapse. And all I got to say is Kratom is one of the most addictive substances I've ever dealt with. For me, three extract shots a day are akin to a regular opiate habit and will put you through some of the nastiest withdrawals of your life. The stuff stays in your system for weeks. It is, for me, it's the absolute devil. Got this platform, putting out these videos, thinking I'm the shit. And after I'd relapsed, man, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror anymore. And I started to develop this plan of, I'm going to just go and get some fetty off some dude at the gas station, buy a 50 piece, and I'm going to go drive out in the woods and I'm going to take my life. I'm working as a server at Texas Roadhouse full time. I'm doing like 40, 60 hours a week. I'm not making any meetings. I'm not doing anything for my recovery. But I think that because I'm helping people get into rehab and I'm helping people find recovery resources and I'm helping people online, I think that counts. And it doesn't. That's not how it works for me, for my recovery. I have to actively put in work to be a better person every day. And I do that by making meetings, holding myself accountable, surrounding myself with other men that are doing the same thing, surrounding myself with other men that are trying to be better every day. Like, I have to do that. And if I don't, I crash. And I've tried to do this without the program, as you can see now, 3-4 times. Like, I was resistant to that. I didn't like the idea that I have to make meetings for the rest of my life. It used to be I have to make meetings. Today, I get to make meetings. It's a privilege to do what I do because of the wisdom and the guidance that's there for free, man. Normal people don't get this type of like leveling up free of charge, dude. There's people spending 70 grand a year on a therapist to go get advice that I get from a random 70-year-old man at a meeting on a Saturday night. So it was either I take my life or I come out and tell my people that I relapsed. That was where I was at. So I ended up calling that first sponsor, laid everything out to him, man, and he completely had my back 110%. Said, listen, man, it happens. I want you to tell everybody and I want you to go to rehab and I want you to stay there for 90 days. So I ended up moving up from my place in Columbus. I put out a song. I generically called it I Relapsed. I couldn't think of a clever name for it, but put it out. Made a post, told everybody what I did, and I had a buddy of mine who was at a treatment center who had also relapsed too, who had about the same amount of time as me. He was at a treatment center in Toledo, and this treatment center is like a Medicaid facility. It was pretty wild. It wasn't the greatest place, but I was directed to go there and humble myself and stay for 90 days. So that's what I did, man. I burned all the bridges in Columbus. I packed up my car and I drove to the detox, and I went there and I went through the detox, which was nasty. They didn't even want to take me at first because here's the thing is like not a lot of places know about Kratom and a lot of places don't even have protocol to like treat Kratom. So it was like, I had to really fight to be there because that was always in my system. A PSA, man, that stuff makes you very sick. And maybe there's some people who don't, but like for an addict who has a neural pathway to like addiction withdrawal, it's going to make you super sick. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. So go through detox and I transfer over to this sober living house, man. And this sober living house, like in the hood, man. And like, there's an ambulance coming there, picking somebody up 2 or 3 times a week from overdosing there, because it's like, you're out in the world. You just have to go to this class every day, man. But I sat down and I truly humbled myself. And I decided I was going to just throw myself right back into meetings every single day, getting another sponsor, going through the steps again. And it could be argued the steps are so good and they've done all this for you, how come you've relapsed so many times? It's not the steps that didn't work. It was me that stopped working the steps. Because here's the thing, you don't just get through the steps and you're done. They are a tool that you apply to your life forever. The first three steps I apply multiple times a day, today, all the time, every single day. The only steps you really only do once is the fourth and fifth step. The other steps, maybe 9 and 10, but other than 8 and 9. But other than that, you're applying those to your life forever. And they are immensely helpful to a sick person like myself. I humble myself back down and sit there and I do what I'm told, man. And I don't want to be there, man. I want to leave after like 2, 4, 6 weeks, man. I'm tired of it. Rehab is the same shit every single day. I'm just recycling the same stuff. But I was challenged to sit for 90 days. So I sat for 90 days and I pushed through. And in the meantime, I started posting on Facebook, just sharing the stuff again. And all of a sudden, like, my music starts to go insanely viral on Facebook and it explodes overnight. And then before I know it, I got this whole platform under me of people just on Facebook now. And that's something I've always dreamed of having, is having that. Because it's cool if you got a TikTok following, man. But have you seen some of the people who have a TikTok following? I feel like anybody can get a TikTok following. And it's not as personable as it is if you're a Facebook following. I can really interact a lot more with people. And I can, it's just something I've always wanted, was through Facebook, man. It finally happened. So here it is. All my dreams are here. Wow, I'm a big Facebook guy now. Holy crap. Did you see how many likes I got? And then that's when I learned too. But this time I remember, that's not going to keep me sober. The likes, the shares, the song going viral, that song, it doesn't matter. And at the end of the day, that can be taken away in a blink of an eye. The content that I share, I got a strike yesterday. I'm making sure that I'm not investing into this and making this my God. For me, like, what's important to me, like, what's really important to me, is who I am in my community, who I am showing up for in my community, and how can they rely on me? How can I be relied on for my family? What kind of man am I to the woman that I'm with, or a father to my daughter? Those things are what's important. All this other stuff's cool, but it's secondary. So it's important that I get the message out, and it's important that I share this stuff. But at the end of the day, if I lost it, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. I'm sure you're aware it is very difficult to run something like this and then also work in the other facets of life. You know what I'm saying? It's not an easy thing to do. And a lot of people think that it's sweet and that we're making all this money. I've had videos do millions of views, and I've gotten hundreds of, like, tens of thousands of like, and I've gotten like a $150 monthly check from Facebook. Like, I promise, like, it probably used to be at some point they made it so you can make a lot of money. And I've had like a good month. Like, I had like $600 a month one time, but I promise they will do whatever they've made it. So it's so oversaturated now that a lot of the people aren't getting money like that. So when you see people on there getting all these likes and shares and follows, we ain't getting the money that you think we're getting. I can tell you that right now. But at the end of the day, I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this because I feel like I have to. I really do. Because, like, who else is talking about these things? You know, if you look at all mainstream music right now, and you look at a lot of, like, really big accounts, and you look at what really is in the mainstream right now, who's talking about it for real? Nobody. And what they're really pushing is, if you listen to, show me the five biggest hip-hop songs in the world right now, and I will show you five songs that are about degrading women. They're pushing gun violence. They're pushing gang violence. They're pushing depression. They're pushing taking pills. They're pushing drugs. And those songs can go viral on this app and be fine. Okay. But, like, when you have a message, you will be under attack. So me choosing to talk about this stuff and me choosing to make music about this stuff, I'm choosing to be under attack. And it sucks sometimes, man. It gets very hectic. Like I said, I had a song. It's called Crime Family. In the song, I talk about doctors overprescribing ADHD medication. That it did 1 million views in 2 days. And it was like blowing up. And there was parents in my comments having conversations about thinking twice about just feeding their kids a bunch of pills and maybe trying a holistic method and stuff like that. That video got taken down and I got a strike added to my page. I have another song that I called Agenda 2030 that we will not get into, but talks about some things that are very apparently coming. If I put that on TikTok, they'll take it down in 2 seconds. It is what it is. I'm going to still talk about what I talk about. I'm going to stand on the opinions and the things that I share, because I see that, and it's important to me to keep this real. And it's important to me to show you guys too, is I'm not perfect. I mess up, man. Like, I am not some recovery guru. I'm just sharing with you guys stuff that I've figured out over time, that I've had to fail and mess my life up and screw up and relapse at the recovery platform and then try again. But I do want to share as a takeaway message that if you're in a place like me, if you're an addict like I am, and you're looking for some real discernible change, if you throw yourself into this, if you throw yourself into the 12 steps, be it AA, NA, Dharma, recovery, whatever, doesn't matter. And if you pick a God that you believe in, it's not spiritual, it's not a religious program, it's spiritual. So your God could be different from my God. Pick a higher power, something you believe in, right? And if you go all in with that, and you make that number one priority, the ripple effects it will have on your life will be unimaginable, unmeasurable. For me to even sit here and just be in my own apartment. Yeah, it's a little two-bedroom apartment, bro, but it's I've never had anything like this in my entire life. I'm 34 years old. I didn't have a license or a vehicle or a car until I was 29 because I lost my license at 19. I couldn't even pay a phone bill. And it talks about getting restored to a level of sanity to where just like you can just figure stuff out. And I'm telling you, that's true. Not only can I figure stuff out, man, it's just I've gotten that and then some. And my mind being what it is now, I just feel like nothing's impossible. I feel like the sky is the literal limit. And it's not because I have a lot of likes on Facebook, man. It's because I put in the work on this. And if I can put in the work and I can have such effects like this, so can you. Anybody can. Anybody can.
Yo, I'm grateful that you tried and tried again. I think everybody has a story that's in recovery, that has a story of trying and trying and trying again. Somebody commented that I'm a chronic relapser. So am I. Okay. So am I. It took me multiple times to figure it out. I tried this way, that way. I tried to like, oh, I can't do that drug because I could do this one though. But everything I touched always had the same results. And that's the definition of insanity. I appreciate you coming on here and sharing, Matt. I got some takeaways from it. I want to talk about a few of those.
Yeah.
Throughout your story. For one thing, kratom. You know, I was just in Tallahassee a couple weeks ago in Florida, because I'm in Florida, and we were in Tallahassee in the Capitol talking about bills that are coming out. Like, who the hell? And then sometimes I'm like, that imposter syndrome kicks in a little bit. It's like, what the hell am I doing? Anything's possible in recovery, man. Once you stick it out and just do it. And you just, I'm going to say this real quick, but you said the sky's the limit. I had a post that said the sky is not the limit. Your belief system is.
Oof. There it is.
Bro, that right there is like the game changer. We got to change our belief system. What's the truth? What's the truth? Replace the lie with truth and move forward. Anything's possible as long as we do that right there.
Absolutely.
Back to the kratom thing. We went up there to put a bill in to restrict because people are taking it thinking it's safe. People like the lesser, especially addicts, man, like, oh, it's a softer, gentler way. But there's no regulations on this stuff. And you firsthand, you said it's like poison, right?
Yes, absolutely. And there's a whole community across TikTok and Facebook that promotes this, and they promote it for people. And it's a very double-edged sword, because at the same time, it's okay, we're keeping people from doing illicit drugs like fentanyl, and we're keeping people from getting out of the mouth of big pharma, right? But it also has its own hicks and is very addictive in itself. However, there are some people who don't experience withdrawal, like normal people, like people that have never had an opiate addiction or never experienced addiction. Their withdrawal will be about as bad as a cup of coffee. But for somebody like me, full-blown opiate withdrawals, like I've been blowing down 30s, five a day for a year type withdrawals.
Hmm. Damn.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. And they're selling this extract now. It used to just come in a tea, a powder, which that I don't have an issue with. It's these extract, these 50 or 100-time extracts that are 20, 30 a shot that people are taking two or three a day. A new place just opened up in my city. They're literally popping up everywhere, and they just start pushing the stuff because people are so addicted. They'll come there every single day and buy it. So they're making all this money off people's addiction. So I'm glad you introduced that, and I hope that it's able to be passed.
Me too. I know a few people that are going through some serious stuff that from the kratom. And they again, you go into it thinking it's a gentle, softer way, and this is at least I'm not doing this, that, and the other thing. But I feel like there's always a cause and effect. There's always some kind of consequence to certain things. That's why they need to make sure this stuff is mandated with labels and make sure that people can't get their hands on it so easily anymore. And then it's funny. It's like they come out with stuff and then they ban that and they come out with a new something.
Yep, absolutely.
It's just crazy. You were talking about the parties as we were young, right? It was great. It was fun. We have these parties. Everybody's your friend. And next thing you know, you get addicted to drugs. It's not fun anymore. And everybody turns into people you don't even recognize anymore. And it's just that way. You talked about going into prison and how everybody just raided your house and stole your stuff. And like, you weren't friends anymore. You couldn't give a damn honey bun from people. Right. And that's the truth of it. What is your friends like today? What is your life like compared to what it was like before? And how has it changed your views?
Oh man, dramatically. A lot of them There's nobody. I don't have anybody from my past. And my entire friend circle is all brand new. People that I've met in the program or people that I've met through church, they're all still doing dirt. A lot of them are still doing some real dirty stuff. And it's just changed so drastically in how they are now and who they are now. Like how you said, you don't even know them. I couldn't believe it, man, because a lot of us were really anti-fentanyl. I was anti-fentanyl the longest time. I would not mess with it or touch it because it killed people. And now those same people that were anti for a while, man, they sell it exclusively. I know one of them will sells it to pregnant women.
Oof.
And it's sick that these are people that I used to love. I love these people. And it breaks my heart. And you can argue that it's addiction and that it's not them. But at the end of the day, man, they're people I don't want to be around. I want nothing to do with. I don't care what the excuse is, you know?
Yeah, there's a line you don't cross, and it's like and that's one of them right there.
Yes.
And how many people in your addiction have come through the doors though? Do you have a lot?
What do you mean?
Found recovery. With? Yeah, you ran with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in my hometown, there's a wonderful recovery movement here in Bellevue, Sandusky, Port Clinton. And a lot of people that I ran with have done very well for themselves and are very productive members of the community. And they're huge in the recovery community. It's almost like a lot of the cool thing to do, you know, is to be clean and sober now. Nobody that I was direct friends with, just people I knew in passing. Like the homies, all my homies are dead, in jail, or they're still running, you know. But I got a lot of new homies now, man.
Yeah. It's definitely a different vibe of homies, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Just call me and check up on me just cause type
just
stuff.
For the hell of it.
I need help. I can call. Hey, I need help moving a couch. Where you at? Be there in 10.
Without no stipulations to that cause, yep. Right? And to that friendship. Yeah. That's the real stuff. That's the real stuff.
Yep.
Do you feel like your recovery path has brought out the creativity in you? Do you feel like the addiction totally stumped your creativity to where now you're like, this shit just comes natural? And I guess doubt and your path was blossomed because of that.
100%. I used to think that I had to be high to perform. I had to be on opiates and benzos to play drums and get on a stage, or I had to be high to write a song, or I had to be high to freestyle. No, I have to be sober to create. And when I create the best, I've created the absolute best content that I've ever made in my entire life. Like stuff that resonates with people all over the world. I go out for walks every day and I'll shoot 10 videos. You see me do those videos where I talk about stuff. I like to put one or two of those up a day. I'll shoot 10 of those in a walk, dude. And just, I used to doubt this. And I used to think, man, this ain't going to happen. This is crazy. Why am I posting? I'm 33, 34 years old. I'm trying to be a rapper, bro. That ain't going to happen. But now there's absolutely no doubt, dude. I pushed through that and I know 100%. I just feel like the message is going to go so much farther than just recovery and just a recovery platform. I feel like I have something for the world. I believe that if I stay consistent, there's absolutely no reason why I can't make that a reality.
You're damn right. And I believe that. I believe that too. Your message is definitely going to get out there. And you put your heart and soul into something, man. You brought up a good point as far as like the view thing, right? Because we all addicted to the views and the likes and all this. And that's the social impact these days. And it's all smoke and mirrors. If you know social media and all that, it's really just smoke and mirrors. But there's a rapper also on YouTube. His name is Lucidius, I think it is. Do you know who that is? Okay.
Uh-uh. Love you the don't? Name.
Okay. He has a song called Hope. Okay. He listen to it. Okay. He's really good. He made a point in this and it stuck with me. He's like, what is a point of views if I'm a slave to it?
Oof.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I bring that up a lot because it's so true. Like we in the social media world and in the new technology, internet, TikTok, this, that, and we're always just not in the creativity part, but more in the attention part. And if we can tap into the creativity part, I feel like that's where the passion comes from. That's where the purpose comes from. And that's where like, it doesn't matter about those views. You're creating for yourself and you're documenting. And that's the point. If you could tap into that, you're ahead of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And literally anybody can, man. This is, like I said, anybody can do this. Anybody. Just with a strong belief system and the work ethic to do so. And then you bring a good value. And that's, even if it flops, even if the video put out doesn't do good. Like I shared a video that got like 200 views on YouTube. I don't care, man. That's 200. That's a lot of people, bro. That's 200 people that have that on their personal page. Fire. Mm-hmm. It's good for me.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm guilty
Yeah, of that, I'm guilty too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Comes with the territory.
It really does. So that video, you said you made a video about the relapse, right? How do you feel like it was received by your fan base? Or how do you feel like they took it? And what's the support you got from it?
Monumental. Monumental support. Everybody was so understanding and so cool. I don't think I got a single hateful comment because obviously we check. And I everybody was just so cool. Like they were understanding. There was so much more understanding. I thought it was over, bro. I thought I was going to have to delete the account and walk away from social media forever. Like that's where my head was at. I was like, it's done. Ain't nobody ever going to believe a word I say ever again. And nah, man, everybody's been super cool. And actually another big personality just had the same issue that she just came out with. So it's like, it happens. It's like we as recovery personalities are not invincible. We're still human beings. And if we're not doing the right things and putting our recovery first, it don't matter what. If I was making six figures a year from this and the high end, I could still relapse and lose this entire thing. Does not matter what I get from this. The recovery and it got to be understanding have to come first.
Yeah. And exactly like you said, it doesn't matter what kind of money you make. I think it even makes it even worse, to be honest with you. But
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like you can't hold that stuff up against the thoughts and the feelings that come in through your brain and in your life, the struggles. It doesn't protect us from any of that. It doesn't matter how much. I think we're more at risk. We're more at risk and vulnerable to the situation because we're out there. And the best thing we could do is snitch on ourselves. And most of the time, it ain't even close to what we think is going to happen.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful for my people and I'm grateful that we have the community that we do, man. It's awesome.
Awesome, man. Thanks again, Matt. And thank you guys for being here tonight, commenting, sharing. And if you haven't shared it yet, make sure you share this video and go follow Matt on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook. I think Facebook is his favorite.
Yep. That's my favorite. That's right.
That's right. Make sure you guys go follow him, check out his music, and then we'll see you next week. Until then, have a great week.
Peace.